How you doing? Good. Hopefully you're better now than when you first came in. That was good. Spirit of God is in the house, and actually that's what I want to talk about today. We need the Holy Spirit. We do. We need the Holy Spirit. A couple weeks ago, we were in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and in there, we talked about a variety of things, but one of them was that Christians should be marked by deep conviction, the Holy Spirit, and power. You know, the gospel is more than just words, but it's deep conviction, the Holy Spirit, and power. And it just got me to thinking about our church. And, you know, I think that OBC of Boone is pretty good in the deep conviction part. We really believe the Bible, right? This is God's word. We believe that. And there are many here that actually talk the talk and walk the walk. It's not just a Sunday routine for you, but it's real. And so the deep conviction thing, I believe we've got a pretty good handle on that. And there's always room to grow, okay? So I'm not saying you got an A+, you're done. But I think this is an area of deep conviction that we're doing pretty good at. But church, I'll say to you, I believe we need more Holy Spirit and more power. We need more. And last year, our theme for the entire year was renewal. We talked a lot about renewal, and renewal comes through the Holy Spirit. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 tells us that. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. If we want renewal, we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also gives us counsel within, and he teaches us and helps us to comprehend the Word of God. And he points us back to Jesus over and over again, and we need to be pointed back to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit does that. John 14:26, Jesus said, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." That's what the Holy Spirit does. Don't we need that? So we need the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit brings conviction. In John 16:8, Jesus said, "When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment." The Holy Spirit brings conviction. And that is not a negative thing. That's a good thing. We need conviction. Because it's sin that separates us from God, and it's good that the Holy Spirit points those things out to us and brings conviction. It's kind of like pain receptors. Anybody here ever have pain? Okay. Nobody likes pain. But without it, without pain, we wouldn't know when something was wrong, and we could do some serious damage to our bodies if we didn't experience pain from time to time. And ultimately, that's what leprosy is. I don't know if you knew that or not. Leprosy isn't just your body, your skin getting dying and falling off. There's more to it than that. Actually, the nerves in your body get injured, and so the leper loses sensation, and they stop feeling pain. And because they don't feel pain, they injure themselves because they do things they wouldn't do because pain stops us from doing things that would harm us. And conviction is kind of like that. The Holy Spirit brings conviction to point out the things that are separating us from God, and we need that. The Holy Spirit does a number of good things for us. And, you know, when you got saved, when you came to Christ, you received the Holy Spirit. That's what the Scripture teaches. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 tells us that. "You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." And then it says, "Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession." And so when you come to Christ, you get saved, the Holy Spirit is deposited in you. And so if you are a true believer, a follower of Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. But you still need the Holy Spirit to fill you. A person who is filled by the Spirit is led by the Spirit, led in a gentle, loving way. A Spirit-led person allows the Holy Spirit to direct and guide every decision, every plan, every activity. We need to be Spirit-led people. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul compares being filled with the Spirit to being drunk. Interesting comparison. Okay? Here is what those two things have in common. I know this is, you know, it kind of really, being drunk and being filled with the Spirit have similarities? Yeah, they do. Here's how they're similar. In both cases, whether you're drunk or filled with the Spirit, you walk differently. You talk differently. You act differently. You think differently. And you feel differently, right? In both cases, you are under the influence. Whether you're drunk or whether you're filled with the Spirit, you're under the influence. But here's the difference between being drunk and being filled with the Spirit. When you're drunk, you are impaired. But when you are filled with the Spirit, you are improved. We need to be filled with the Spirit. As I said, Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. That's a command, and it literally means to keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being filled. You see, the world, the flesh, and the devil, they oppose the Spirit-controlled lifestyle, so we need to be filled and renewed continually, all the time. Even in the book of Acts, those who experienced the Pentecostal outpouring and were filled with the Spirit in chapter 2 of Acts still needed a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 4. Just two chapters later, those same apostles prayed to the Lord and the place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. They had just been filled with the Spirit, and now they're getting filled with the Spirit again. We need to keep on being filled with the Spirit. In one of his books, Tony Campolo tells the story about a revival meeting that happened at a particular church. In fact, this church had lots of revival meetings. And at every one, a certain man in that church could be counted on to walk down the aisle every single time an invitation was given to recommit his life to Christ. And each time, he would fall on his knees at the altar and make a bit of a scene, and he would cry, fill me, Lord Jesus, fill me up, Lord Jesus. And after the meeting, he'd get all fired up about his faith for about 3 weeks and then lose his excitement, and he'd go back to his old ways until another evangelist came to town and gave him an altar call, and the man would go through the same routine all over again. And, of course, after seeing this happen over and over again, people in the church started to get a bit cynical about his behavior. And finally, on one occasion, after he walked the aisle for the umpteenth time and was in the front crying, fill me up, Jesus, fill me up, Lord, a lady in the back of the church stood up and yelled at the top of her lungs, don't do it, Lord, he leaks. And, of course, we all laugh at that. But the truth of the matter is, he's not the only one who leaks. We all leak, don't we? That is the struggle of the spiritual life. We can have some awesome worship experiences. We can listen to some inspiring talks. We can enjoy some incredible community and fellowship with each other. We can have some powerful times of prayer. We can go on mountaintop retreats. But eventually, all those experiences fade because we can't live on Sundays alone or on Wednesday nights or whatever day of the week we get spiritually filled up. That is not enough. We need to keep on being filled because we leak. The Bible says we need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I already said that when you came to Christ, you're a believer and you received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you received the Holy Spirit. And to be filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't really mean that we get any more of the Spirit than we already have. It really means is he gets more of us. That's really what it is. The Spirit gets more of us. The question is not much, how much of the Holy Spirit we have, but how much of us does the Holy Spirit have? That's really what it comes down to. And if you are filled with the Holy Spirit and continually filled, some of his stuff that he has is going to ooze out of you as well. And so if you are under the influence of the Holy Spirit and he's controlling your life, you're going to see a change in your character or the fruit of the Spirit that we see in Galatians chapter 5. You will see a change in your capabilities or the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And you should also see an increase in confidence or assurance of your salvation that we find in Romans chapter 8. The Holy Spirit does all of those things in us. And there will be an effect. Just like if you drink alcohol and you keep on drinking alcohol, there's going to be an effect. If you fill up on the Holy Spirit and you keep filling up on the Holy Spirit, there's going to be an effect. Character, capabilities, and confidence. In Ephesians 5:18, Paul actually encourages believers who already have the Holy Spirit living inside of them to be continually filled with the Spirit. They've already got the Spirit, but he says, keep being filled with the Spirit. Seems a little redundant. Why would he say that? Because it is possible to have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, but not be living under the Spirit's control. In other places, the Bible calls that grieving the Spirit or quenching the Spirit. And we can quench and grieve the Holy Spirit in a variety of ways. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16, says, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. And then he goes on and he even kind of lays it out here. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And I warn you, he says, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, have you ever met a carnal Christian? Okay, let me rephrase the question. Have you ever looked in the mirror? Then you've met a carnal Christian. Okay? Because not a one of us lives perfectly for Christ. Okay? But the Holy Spirit, he's in us. If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit's in you. But the truth is, we don't always submit and follow the Holy Spirit perfectly, do we? And so we need to keep on yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And don't do those things that are in contrast or contrary to the Spirit. That limits his influence in your life. Ephesians 4:29 and following gives us some more things that inhibit the Holy Spirit's work in our life when it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And then he goes on and says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Instead, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You see, there are things that we can participate in that will limit the influence of the Holy Spirit in our life. And if you want more of the Holy Spirit influence in your life, then you need to avoid those things that limit his influence in your life. So I can quench the Spirit when I fail to confess and come clean about some behavior I'm trying to hide from God or someone else. I can grieve the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, when I lie or deceive someone, or when I speak harshly to my wife or my kids. That can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Spirit when we turn our lives over to the control of another substance like alcohol or drugs or some other addiction. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we are idle busybodies who criticize others. We grieve the Spirit when we show disrespect to leaders. We grieve the Spirit when we refuse to forgive someone who's hurt us, and instead we choose anger and bitterness. Because the Holy Spirit wants to unite people, not divide people. And we grieve the Spirit when we don't pray and when we don't express gratitude. You see, all of these things hinder the work of the Spirit in our life. So if we want more of the Spirit's influence, we need to have less of all this stuff. You see? You can put it this way. There's only so much room in your heart. And you can be filled with the Spirit, or you can be filled with all this junk. Your choice. It really is your choice. We need to be filled with the Spirit. So, if being filled with the Spirit means being under the control or the influence of the Holy Spirit, then how do we get filled and stay filled so that we don't leak so much? Wouldn't you like to know? I'm going to give you some pointers today. Here's the key to living a Spirit-filled life, and that is to practice what Jesus practiced, to arrange our lives around the things that Jesus arranged his life around. After all, that's what a Christ follower does, right? Follows Christ. Okay, so there's the real simple summary of how to keep being filled with the Spirit. Follow Jesus. I know that's the pat answer, but it's the truth. Now I'll elaborate. The disciples followed Christ. They followed Jesus around. They watched how Jesus lived. They started to imitate him and do the same things he did. And if you read the book of Acts, those apostles did some pretty impressive things. It's because they were following Christ. And I want you to know Jesus is still our model today. He is the model for what it means to live under the control and influence of the Spirit. And Jesus arranged his life around various practices and relationships that were important to him and helped him continue to be filled with the Spirit. As you read through the Gospels, here's what you'll find. Jesus is frequently worshiping at the temple and in the synagogue. So worship was important to Jesus. Often we hear Jesus referring to the Scriptures and teaching from the Scriptures. So the Word of God was important to Jesus. And in the Scripture, we often see Jesus praying with others and by himself at times alone. So prayer and solitude were important to Jesus. But so was community. Jesus lived his life kind of elbow deep in relationship with the 12, and he still made time for other friendships over the course of his life. So serving, giving, fasting, loving, all these practices kept Jesus filled with the Holy Spirit, and he calls us to follow him and do the same things he did. If he worshiped, if he prayed, then we ought to be doing that too, right? Okay. Now, after the command to keep on being filled with the Spirit, we get some advice on how to do just that. In Ephesians chapter 5, 18 and following, it gives the command, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then it goes on, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. So it kind of fills in the blanks. How do you get filled with the Spirit? Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And let me elaborate on that. A psalm, if you get into some history here, a psalm is simply a song accompanied by an instrument. We do this every Sunday morning. We sing songs accompanied by instruments. You can do that when you play a CD in your car of Christian music, a song accompanied with instruments. Or maybe you're an instrument player, and then you're doing it. This psalm can also be a song with instruments only, where it's just the instruments playing. And sometimes we do that on Sunday where we don't sing, but we just listen to the instruments play and we just kind of worship the Lord while the instruments play. this psalm can also refer to the book of Psalms. You know, we can sing scripture. We sing scripture to ourselves. We can sing it to each other. We quote it back to God. That's singing a psalm. This also, a psalm also includes original songs that are written by you or any other member of the congregation. That's a psalm, okay? But then we're also to sing hymns. And in the original language, this does not refer back to the old songbooks. That's what we call hymns. But to them, it was simply a song of praise to God or a prayer that was sung. That's a hymn. And so pretty much all of our Sunday morning music falls into that category. We sing praise to God, and we sing prayers to God. It can also mean a song that's specifically about salvation in some instances. But then we're also supposed to sing spiritual songs. Now, this is any song that is sung and inspired by the Holy Spirit. And in our modern venues, we would tend to call this open worship. This is like, you know, we have an order of service and there's music playing and we're singing along. But then you just kind of come to a lull in the service and the music's still playing. And then you just kind of spontaneously start singing whatever you are thankful for, something to the Lord. You just spontaneously sing it out. That's a spiritual song. And you can use a spiritual language in that type of song. There's also a contrast in the original language between hymns and spiritual songs. Hymns are typically part of the planned worship, while spiritual songs have more of a spontaneous nature, where, you know, like during that kind of interlude and the music's just playing and you just kind of get moved and you just start spontaneously singing to the Lord. That's a spiritual song. And so we do those things, and that's part of being filled with the Spirit. We sing and make music in your heart. That's what it says. That means don't just go through the motions. Don't just say the words, but involve your heart. Let your heart get into it. Sometimes spiritual things have a bit of an emotional effect, and that's okay. Men especially, I want you to hear that. It's okay that spirituality can affect your emotions. That's okay. Because I know us men, I'm one of them, obviously. I hope, obviously. I'm a man. And emotion doesn't flow as freely from me as it does from my wife. And if any of you know our relationship, you know that's true. She, you know, you say just the wrong word and she's crying. Okay? You could punch me in the nose, and I'm not sure I would cry. I'd wince or something, but it's just, tears don't just come oozing out of me so easily. But the Spirit of God and spirituality can move our emotions, and that's okay. If the Spirit of God is touching your heart and it brings a tear to your eye, let it flow. If the Spirit of God is touching your heart and it makes you want to shout for joy, then shout for joy. That's okay. Involve your heart. And so, church, I want you to know, we don't sing songs on Sunday morning for 20 minutes or so just because I have a musical inclination. Okay, you all know your pastor's into music. We don't do music just because that's what I want. Okay? We sing songs because they help us connect with God and keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why we sing songs. And then in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, be filled with the Spirit, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. There's the last thing. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I say sing praise and pray and give thanks. These all help us be filled with the Spirit. And we need the Holy Spirit. Have you ever come to church having a bad day? Okay? And if you really sing the songs and you begin to enter in, does that tend to fade into the background? It does. And have you ever been here in a service where I just kind of open it up for popcorn praises and you just say a thing or two that you're thankful for? Have you noticed how that just kind of brings a peaceful atmosphere to the room? That's the work of the Holy Spirit, because when you sing and when you give thanks, those things are filling you again with the Holy Spirit. You need to be doing that. And don't just wait for Sunday morning. Do it every day. When you have your radio on in your car, you need to be listening to some Christian or gospel music and singing along as much as you can and just praising the Lord, because that keeps you filled up. And you need to be praying. You need to be reading the Bible, because that keeps you filled up. You leak. I leak. We all leak. We need to keep on being filled up. John and Lori, if you guys would go ahead and make your way, I'm going to wrap up here momentarily. David Wilkerson said, "We are to walk in total submission to the Holy Spirit, just as Christ walked in constant, absolute submission to the Father." And if we are able to grasp this one truth, we can enter into a life that's free of distress, full of assured direction, and marked by perfect rest. The key is to just say yes. Have you ever read through the Gospels and you see that Jesus, he was constantly worrying and fretting and nervous about everything? No, never. He was constantly at peace. In the middle of the storm, the disciples were kind of freaking out. Jesus is snoring. Perfect rest, because he was filled with the Spirit. If we can be filled with the Spirit, a lot of the stuff that we worry and fret over and struggle with, they're just going to fade away. We need the Holy Spirit. And I want to close with these thoughts. The Holy Spirit is continually speaking and prompting you. So, are you listening? Are you obeying? Because those are keys to keeping filled with the Holy Spirit. Church, we need the Holy Spirit. And God willing, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit for a while, because we need the Holy Spirit. Amen? These guys are going to lead a song, and I encourage you to press in if you want to come forward and pray and just seek the Lord. Let's invite the Holy Spirit in the house.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence I've tasted and seen, of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence I've taken. scene of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Let us become more of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Let Boone Open Bible be a place that is filled with the Holy Spirit. Let the people of OBC be people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. People who keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to make room for you in our hearts and our minds. We need you, Lord. We need you, God. We need you, Holy Spirit. Fill us. Sometimes it's helpful for me to actually put an action with this. And so I want to sing this chorus again. And I'm going to put my hand on my heart because I want the Holy Spirit to be welcome here. I might put my hand on my head because I want the Holy Spirit welcome here in my mind. You know what I'm saying? And so let's make it a little more personal. If that resonates with you, do something like that. Let's sing that again.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence. Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence.
Hallelujah.
We need your presence.
This right here is a spiritual song, just spontaneously singing to the Lord.
Holy Spirit, have your way in us.
Fill us,
God.
Fill us again, Lord Jesus. Church, let's keep on being filled with the Spirit. Just keep coming back to Jesus. He has an unlimited supply for you. Press in. You know, Jesus also said, if you ask, God will give. So if you feel like you need more Holy Spirit or more of His influence in your life, start by simply asking. Lord, I want more. You know that guy that came to the altar every 3 weeks? I'm on his team. Lord, fill me up. If I have to repeat it in a few weeks, again, Lord, fill me up. Let's be filled with the Spirit over and over and over again. Praise the Lord. Lord, help us to continually yield ourselves to you. We want to be under your influence. Fill us with your Spirit, God. Help us to say no to those things that tend to fill us up so that we can be completely filled with you. We want to say yes to you. Fill us, Lord, I pray. And help us to keep on being filled. Thank you, Lord. May this be the year that the Holy Spirit moves in power in Open Bible Church. That's our prayer. That's what we're asking for, Lord. Let it begin today, I pray. You're welcome to linger as long as you like. If you're ready to go, you're free to go. Have a great week. Keep on being filled with the Spirit and God's blessings on you.